The Christmas season has begun here in December of 2008. And what is the reason for the season?
Jesus.
It's the birth of Jesus Christ into this world 2,000 years ago. You know, God loves us so very much. And God knew that we could not pay for our own sins. So 2,000 years ago, He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be born as a baby in a manger. And Jesus lived His life. He fulfilled His mission, the cross. He died upon a cross for our sins so that we would not have to die in hell. Christmas Day is the celebration of Jesus' birthday. He is the reason for the season. And this afternoon, I'd like to begin a mini-series called The Reason for the Season. And today's subtitle is Fear Not. And our text comes from Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 14. Luke 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph, verse 4, also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Verse 5, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Now imagine the scenario here. Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And there were some humble shepherds tending to their flocks late at night. And all at once they received an unexpected visit from an angel. And I would imagine that this angel was maybe large, and he carried the glory of Almighty God. Just humble, simple shepherds. And who knows what went through their minds when they saw this angel, this large angel. They might have been thinking, did we do or say something wrong? Were we at the wrong place at the wrong time? Will this angel chastise or rebuke us? I wonder what they might have been thinking. You see, they were thinking thoughts, and fear tried to take a hold of them. Let's look at verse 9, the end part of the verse. It says that the shepherds were terrified. Not only were they afraid, the word says they were terrified. Another translation says they were sore afraid. And the angel read them. The angel was sensitive, and he said, "Do not be afraid." The King James Version translates this as, "Fear not, shepherds." And I've heard it said that an acronym for fear, F-E-A-R, could be this. F-E-A-R, false expectations appearing real. False expectations appearing real. You know, I think the shepherds were expecting a negative report from the angel, and to them, what they were expecting became so real that they were hit with fear. They became sore afraid. They were terrified. But the angel said, "Fear not." And the word of God to you tonight, friends, is this: fear not in your own lives, for God Almighty is with you. He has got your back. He will take care of the situation in your life. Now, I agree, and maybe you agree, that there are healthy fears out there. There is a healthy spiritual fear that the Scripture talks about. It's the fear of God. The fear of God is an awe. It's a reverence for God. It's afraid to do anything that would displease God. It's an endeavoring to live a holy life. That's a healthy fear of Almighty God. Would you agree? There's some other healthy fears out there. For instance, for some of you guys that may have climbed a ladder, how many here have climbed a ladder before? And have gone pretty high. Maybe you've climbed a tree to do some tree trimming. You know, I climb ladders all the time, and Brett knows this, and a lot of times I'm up there 15, 20, 30 feet up in the air, and I've got a special tool on my ladder to lay it firm against the roof, and normally I have a man at the ground holding the ladder firm. And when I'm up there 25 feet in the air, let me tell you something. Healthy fear is going to tell me not to do a song and a dance up high on that ladder, right? You know, it's going to tell me to maneuver myself carefully, to put my feet in just the right spot so I don't slip and fall and get hurt. That's a healthy fear. That's godly wisdom, right? But friends, most fears are unhealthy. Most fears are unhealthy. I've heard it said that most of the things people fear never really come to pass. Most of the things people fear never come to pass. It's just a waste of your time and your mental energy. It takes a lot of mental energy to fear. And that's what it does. It draws on your mental energy. You know, just recently, our nation got hit financially. How many know about that? Several months ago. Stock market went down, financial institutions shut down, and there was so much negativity on the news, in the newspapers, on the TV, that people were surrounding and focusing on the negative. And there was a lot of people out there, including Christians, that thought that the banks would all shut down. And so there was a bank run. A lot of people went out and they took all the money out of their bank accounts and stashed the cash in their houses, thinking that the banks would shut down. And guess what? Most of the banks did not cease operating. And most of the big ones are doing well. But the people who feared and pulled their money out of the banks lost out. And guess how they lost out? They lost out on the interest payments they could have received for that period of time that they pulled their money out. They got into fear. So they lost some interest on their money. See, fear causes people to lose out in life. You know, unhealthy fear is a demonic spiritual force that comes from the enemy. What does Paul the Apostle write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7? He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. It comes from the devil, who's a liar and the father of all lies. What is the opposite of fear? Okay. The opposite of fear is faith. And faith is of God. It's the one thing that Scripture clearly states pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, for instance, says this: "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." So if it's impossible to please God without faith, then that means to me that with faith, it is possible to please God. And there's two aspects of faith here in Hebrews 11:6. Number one, you've got to believe that God exists. You've got to believe that the giver of all good gifts, God, exists before you can believe to receive a miracle from His hands. So number one, faith. First aspect of faith. You've got to believe that the giver of all good gifts, God, exists. Friends, I'm here to tell you today that God is alive and well. And number two, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Not every so often, but diligently and consistently seek Him in faith. By reading the Word, by getting into prayer, and not giving up on your faith in God to bring about that miracle in your life. You know, God requires faith in our walk with Him. Would you agree? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the next few minutes, I want to talk about fear versus faith. Again, fear, F-E-A-R, false expectations appearing real. Now, fear robs people in two different ways. It robs people of inner peace. It robs people of inner peace. You know, I was doing I've done a lot of missions work to India in the past years. And back in 2005, I had put a team together to do tsunami relief in the country of India, southern part of India. And I was excited about it. We had four people on the team. We had an older couple, another friend of mine. We were going to go out there in the summer of 2005. And getting ready, we had raised funds. We had put schedules in order. And the night before our plane took off, guess what? I received an unexpected negative report. The older gentleman who was supposed to come with us called and said, "Jonathan, I've had a medical emergency. I've had a medical emergency. And my doctor says at this time I should not be flying to India." And friend, I'm telling you, at that point, fear tried to take a hold of me. All kinds of thoughts were going through my mind. Should I not be doing this project now? Am I doing it at the wrong time? Should I cancel it and reschedule it? But in the midst of it all, deep down on the inside, I sensed the peace of God. And guess what? Instead of focusing on the negative report that this man and his wife were not going to be able to come with us, guess what I did? I focused on the inner peace that God gave me on the inside. I focused on faith in God that God would take care of the situation.
Right.
And guess what happens? I ended up going to India with that other person. We taught in a Bible school. We did tsunami relief. And a month and a half later, approximately, this man and his wife ended up going to India anyway and ministering out there. So God had the whole thing under control. Will you focus on the negative or the positive? If you focus on the negative, fear will try to take a hold of your life. Focus on faith in God. Focus on the peace that God wants to place within your heart. Another area that fear tries to rob you in, it tries to rob you of miracles. I'd like to read you a story. Some of you may have heard this before. And this is what it says. It's the rope. The night felt heavy in the heights of the mountain, and the man could not see anything. All was black. Zero visibility. And the moon and the stars were covered by the clouds. As he was climbing only a few feet away from the top of the mountain, he slipped and fell into the air, falling at a great speed. The climber could only see black spots as he went down, and the terrible sensation of being sucked by gravity. He kept falling. And in those moments of great fear, it came to his mind all the good and bad episodes of his life. He was thinking about how close to death he was getting, when all of a sudden he felt the rope tied to his waist pull him very hard. His body was hanging in the air. Only the rope was holding him. And in that moment of stillness, he had no other choice but to scream, "Help me, God!" All of a sudden, a deep voice coming from the sky answered, "What do you want me to do?" The man said, "Save me, God!" "Do you really think I can save you?" "Of course I believe you can." "Then cut the rope tied to your waist." There was a moment of silence, and the man decided to hold on to the rope with all of his strength. The rescue team tells that the next day a climber was found dead and frozen, his body hanging from a rope, his hands holding tightly to it, only 10 feet away from the ground. And you, how attached are you to your rope? Will you let it go? Don't ever doubt the things from God. You should never say he has forgotten or abandoned you. Don't think that he doesn't take care of you. Remember, he's always holding you with his right hand. Friends, this man decided to hold on to what? He decided to hold on to fear. He focused on the negative circumstance in his life, that he was hanging in midair, and held on to his fear instead of focusing on faith in God. And he ended up being robbed of what? His fear robbed him of physical life. He froze to death. That amazing? He could have focused on God, faith in God. He could have let go and he would have been alive. But he focused on fear and negativity. Friends, fear will rob you of miracles. This man was robbed of the miracle of physical life. On the other hand, the good news is this, is that faith blesses people. Faith blesses people. Faith causes people to remain in God's peace as they focus on faith in God and His miracle working power. Faith causes people to receive God's miracles into their lives. Now, friends, what is faith? What is faith? Faith causes you to remain in God's peace. Faith causes you to receive God's miracle into your life. How do we define faith? This is the way I define it. Faith is a knowing in your knowing, a knowing that you know that what God has promised you in His Word and that you're standing upon will come to pass in your life if you do not give up the faith in God to rescue your life. That's what faith is. It's a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that what God has promised you from His Word and the promises you're standing upon will come to pass if you do not quit in believing God for the miracle. Amen. That's what faith is. God is looking for a childlike faith, a faith that does not doubt even for a moment the promise that He has given to you. He's looking for a persistent faith, a faith that does not quit when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough, the tough in God get going with their faith. Amen? Amen. Making sense today? Amen. You can't allow doubt to enter your life, friends. God wants to bless you in so many ways. Look at this. God has got miracles in His hands. God has got miracles for you in His hand. It is there for the taking. He's offering it to you. You stretch out your hand and take it how?
By faith.
By faith. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, friends, you may have received a negative report, an unexpected visit from someone somewhere. Will you let your mind run crazy, focusing on the negative reports, getting full of fear, or will you focus on faith in God, in a big God who's able to deliver you, who's able to bring about that miracle in your life? Will you focus on the peace of God on the inside? Remember, most of the things that we fear about never come to pass. We'll talk about a few biblical examples of how faith attracted miracles into people's lives in closing. Remember the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. They were terrified, right, when they saw this angel. They were terrified. But the angel was sensitive and he encouraged them. He said, "Fear not." So instead of the shepherds focusing on the negative and letting their minds go crazy, what did they do? They decided to let go of their fear and they trusted what this angel had to say. Amen. Think about it. These shepherds, I believe, had two choices. They could have allowed faith to take such a hold of them and they could have run the other way. But they decided to have faith instead. And because they decided to stay and listen to the angel, they received a miracle. What miracle did they receive? They received the miracle of the news of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior, into this world. Not only that, they received the miracle of being able to visit physically with Jesus as He lay in the manger. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
They could have, in fear, they could have run. But they stayed in faith instead and received that awesome miracle, the news of the birth of Jesus. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Another instance. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Yes, Luke 8, 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed Him, for they were all expecting Him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. So friends, think about it. This man is surrounded by negative circumstances. His daughter is about to die. That would cause anybody to fear, right? A loved one is about to die. Let's look at verse 50. Actually, verse 49. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Man, your daughter is dead, Jairus. And Jesus knew that Jairus had the option, the choice, of focusing on this negative report and being gripped with fear. So Jesus encouraged Jairus in verse 50. Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Fear not. Just believe, and she will be healed." Again, Jairus' friends had two choices. He could have focused on what? On the negative report that his daughter was dead. But instead, what did he do? He let go of fear and decided instead to focus on faith in Jesus, that Jesus, the Savior, Yeshua, was able to resurrect his daughter.
Thank you, Father.
And that's exactly what Jairus did. He got into faith. He thought inside himself, "Jesus, I know you're able to raise my daughter from the dead." And guess what? Jesus did it for Jairus. He resurrected that little girl back to life. Because Jairus decided to focus on faith in God. He decided to let go and not focus on the negative report. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Matthew 14, one last instance. Let's turn back a couple of Gospels. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 30. Jesus had just fed 5,000. And before, let's back up actually to verse 22. He had just fed 5,000 people. There were 12 basketfuls of food left over. And in verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Verse 23, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but that boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were again, like the shepherds, terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. So they saw Jesus walking on water. They didn't know what it was. Their minds began going crazy, and they were gripped with fear. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." It is I, do not be afraid. Verse 28, "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." These disciples were gripped with fear. What did Peter do? Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water." And Jesus said, "Peter, come." So what was Peter doing? He was focusing on faith in Christ, that Christ would allow him to walk on the water, something that is humanly impossible to do. But again, now the wind arose. Verse 30, so a negative situation, circumstance arose. The wind began to blow. And now instead of focusing on faith in Christ, he draws back and starts focusing on the wind. And at the point that he starts focusing on the wind and getting into fear, he begins to sink. He starts losing his miracle. But Jesus said, stretched out his hand, took him up, and said, "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" It's awesome, isn't it? Peter at first was focusing on God, on Jesus, full of faith, walking on the water. But he saw the winds. started to lose that faith, started focusing on the negative expectation, the wrong report, and started to sink. Friends, during this Christmas season and beyond, will you focus on fear of an unexpected report, of an unexpected visit, or will you focus on faith in God, knowing that God will bring you through? Will you focus on yourself and getting depressed, being alone, or will you focus on the fact that God will never leave you? He will never forsake you. He's your best friend this Christmas season.
Every day.
Friends, let's focus on faith in God. For with God, all things are possible. And it's faith, belief, knowing in your knower that pleases God. Amen.